These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, it's time for another edition of the Keshi Tapes, episode 53, the first episode in our second year of recording. I'm John Hewlett, and there is...
Favaz. Hi, John.
Hi, and we're going to do an interview today that I conducted in 1987, spring of 87, with your nemesis, John Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi! Wee!
And he came into the radio station to do the lunch show with me, I think, that day.
He was big in 1987. In fact, I don't know. You say in the interview, "Hey, welcome back," because he went to the old place. Do you remember him being in Crestwood?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So now he's at Union Station, and that's 87 is the year when Slippery When Wet came out, his giant record that put him on the map.
Oh, yeah. He was a superstar at this point in time.
He was.
But he never, you know, presented himself that way. I mean, at least to us, he didn't. Yeah, at least to us, he didn't. And, you know, I think this is a pretty long interview. So
great. A long Bon Jovi interview.
So
settle
in.
I can't wait.
But for you, no music because it's a podcast.
Thank
we can't
you.
Play
yes,
music.
Yes, I am grateful for that today.
Now, I don't remember too much about the interview being set up. It might have even been somewhat of a surprise, a short notice type thing, which they tend to do back then because they didn't want anybody to get the word out and then have a bunch of people you know, around the radio station, whatever. Although that never bothered me, but I guess it bothered those folks. So, you know, he just kind of showed up, I guess, and we just started talking.
And I, from the little bit that I heard, Cinderella opened for Bon Jovi that night at the, I guess he was probably playing the old arena.
Checkerdome.
Checkerdome. Yeah. We'll find out in a second. So how funny is that Cinderella, you know, who I don't remember the year that record came out, you know, with Shake Me and all that. But they were the opener. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm. So here we go. And again, this is being played back off of a cassette tape. And the cassette machine is down on the floor way...
So you don't have to get on your stool to do the turntable.
No. Yeah, actually, well, that's a long story. Actually, so it's pretty far from the board, so here I go.
All right.
I'll be doing this whole podcast from my knees.
2 minutes before 1 o'clock, the U-Man, we're having Bon Jovi for lunch. And suddenly, say something.
Like a bad dream.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, appears John Bon Jovi.
Hey. Huh? What's happening, big guy?
Welcome to...
You're that big guy.
Big guy. That's lame right there. You know what? I'm going to keep track of all the lame statements that he makes. That's number one. Okay? That's big guy.
Must be a Jersey thing. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. That's
number one. KC95.
Thank you very much.
You were here about a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
You saw the old place, and now you see the new place.
Yeah, I like the new one. This is all right. You've got a beautiful staff of young ladies.
So he did... Oh, he's starting to get into the young ladies thing.
Yes, of course.
So he did appear in Crestwood with us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Around here.
Yes,
it's
we do.
Nice place.
And some of them are of Italian descent. And they came in here earlier and they said, "He's Italian, isn't he?" I said, "I think he is."
Last time anyone checked.
Favaz, you're Italian.
I am, John.
I'm half Italian.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have something in common with Bon Jovi.
You're not a New York Met fan, are you, by any chance?
No, I have to admit that... baseball and I have sort of parted ways, but
good.
You know, last time I was a Met fan was 1973.
Well, I asked that because I know you're from New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm from Jersey. I'm a Giants fan, though.
Well, that's okay. But I tell you what, not too many New Yorkers come to St. Louis and are able to sell as many tickets to whatever type of performance they put on.
Oh, they say they're Mets fans?
Yeah, oh, we hate them. We hate them.
Well, that's good. I was safe there, but I am a Giants fan, a loyal Giants fan, and thank God after a million and a half years they've come through.
Well, it's been a good year for you being a Giants fan and a good year for you, period. Upon the release of Slippery When Wet, things went right through the roof. When did you realize that you had this big of an album, John?
We haven't yet. I mean, we're really not paying much attention, although we're ecstatic.
Humility, humble. Gotta like that,
Favaz. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
None of the trappings of the success have really caught on. It's just... it's a hell of a lot of fun being able to play as long as you want, whenever you want, wherever you want.
And you didn't have that opportunity when you were opening.
No, it was tough because, you know, I mean, opening or doing the small theaters, you couldn't get production in there. You know, so it's been a long, you know, winding road. And just the persistence, I think, you know, coming back every year and playing and playing and playing. I think we must have been in St. Louis three or four times already. And, you know, to be able to come back and sell out Kiel is a great feeling.
Oh, there you go.
Kiel
Auditorium.
Kiel Auditorium.
Yeah. Before the redo, because that happened in 94.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This was long before.
Yeah, the place was not ideal for any kind of music shows whatsoever.
No, you went to a bunch of them. I went to a bunch. I mean, I love the Opera House.
Yeah.
But the auditorium was just kind of like...
Just a big old, auditorium. Big old concrete hall.
yeah, that's what it
was. Yeah, a lot of echo, you know, the music bouncing off walls and stuff. Nothing up in the ceilings to baffle anything.
Actually, when the tour was booked, a lot of your shows weren't booked in halls big enough because you really didn't have any idea that things were going to go this well, did you?
No, I mean, who would have ever
Because there is
imagined.
A bigger auditorium here than Kiel. You know, it's the arena. And if
we this was actually late enough where we did consider that, I don't know, is the sound there worse or something?
It's not quite as good.
We had talked about the sound difficulties and
what? Well, no, actually, I think now that you mentioned, I think the Checker Dome actually was worse sound wise.
People always complain about sound in big buildings. It doesn't matter. What it is,
you know. I mean, because now we could have booked a couple of nights at Kiel, but it was the attitude is let's just do the one. You know, let's not over guess anything, and let's not cheat the kids, especially by giving them crummy sound just to put more people in the hall. So
that's an admirable position.
Yeah,
I complimented him.
You did.
Yes, admirable.
It's a great position to be in. You know.
Yeah. Now that you have released "Slippery When Wet" and you have a number one song on the charts right now, number one single, "Living on a Prayer." The album is still number one, is it not?
This is correct. It's going to be knocked out, unfortunately.
Do you, as time goes on here, think to yourself, how do I top this? Or have you not allowed that to enter your mind yet?
Well, you don't really think about it. You know, I mean, what we're concerned with is touring. But, you know, I can see now that I'm starting to think of ideas and as well as Richie, and we're starting to write a bit. Yeah, and I'm
back when he and Richie were friends.
Yes, back in the day when they loved one another as friends.
Although they still say they're friends.
Yeah, but I don't. I think Richie's drinking really got in the way those last years, and probably still is.
Yeah.
But they were quite the duo. Back then. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Afraid of it, I don't think that we're going to have much problem. I think we're going to be okay.
What do you think? What type of step do you think is the next one? What ideas are running through your mind in that area?
Well, it's hard to explain. I think that...
I mean, you wouldn't all of a sudden just do something dramatically different.
No, it's not going to be dramatically different. Sure, yeah. It's going to be, you know, a Bon Jovi record. But I think this
it's
year...
It's going to be a lame Bon Jovi record.
What was after that? They had to come back with something...
Was that New Jersey? Was New Jersey after that? As we grab our smartphones?
I think it was.
Go ahead, I'll look.
Write our 8-minute, you know, Stairway to Heaven kind of an attitude. You know, I mean, we want to keep expanding like that. Maybe add something like this year we added horns. Maybe next year it'll be a mandolin or a kazoo or something. You know, I mean, so there's production ideas as well. But, you know, from a song structure-wise, there's some good ideas brewing.
Bob Dylan used the harmonica? Job Bon Jovi uses the kazoo.
That says it right there. It was New Jersey. New Jersey, Slippery When Wet actually came out in 86, and New Jersey came out in 1988.
Yeah.
All right, John Bon Jovi is in the studios of KC95, and we're going to play a song now called In and Out of Love from Compact Disc. Stay with us.
Oh, see, I was highlighting the Compact Disc because they were a big deal back then.
87, I think that was the year, well, maybe 85, I bought my first compact disc.
Yeah,
it was
really
Brian Adams Reckless. I'll never forget it. Yeah,
it was a big deal. Now we're making big deals of playing vinyl again.
Yeah,
you know.
From Bon Jovi, John, live in the studio after this song. Real Rock Radio, KC95, and what a song, "Living on a Prayer."
Can
you
hit those notes live?
Oh man,
is it real or memory?
It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. John Bon Jovi is live in the studio here at KC95, and John and I were just talking off mic about how he's into lifting the weights, doing Nautilus and things like that. Shouldn't have got me started on this subject. Yeah.
Nautilus. Remember when Nautilus was a big deal?
We still have a Nautilus up in Alton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Remember when it first bursted onto the scene?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Nautilus, and then there was another thing. All the baseball players were using Cybex machines. You remember those?
Yes, I remember those. What about Vic Tanny? Remember yeah. Vic Tanney?
Yeah, I don't remember
those,
him personally.
Those places, too. Yeah,
Vic Tanney, yeah.
We're going to bore him now with this kind of talk. No, we won't get into it. You have a birthday coming up Monday, is that correct?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Look at this.
Was that you?
No. I would never be at a Bon Jovi interview, even before I worked here.
No, really?
No.
Huh.
Was never a fan.
Okay.
Never seen him.
No. I let your hate just grew over time.
No, I liked this record, Slippery When Wet, and I love Runaway, which was the big song that he had before then. So it was after that when I really thought, wow, you're really getting to be lame.
Ah, look at all these women.
Happy birthday to you.
Entire stand
Thank
KG
you.
Radio.
I'm old
Happy
enough
birthday.
To drink now.
Hey, this is music.
It's fine.
We can play this and not get sued.
I think we're safe.
All right.
Love that. Yeah. What does the card say? It's a clean card, isn't it?
Nobody... Yeah, pretty clean. It says Happy birthday from a bunch of us who think you're a really great person. Plus a few of us who put you in the minor god category.
Who are those people? Raise your hand.
Everybody, the whole staff, the whole world.
Very good. I'm trying to think of the pretty girls that worked there back then. Who were there?
Abigail was there.
Abigail Paulé was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, with some.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Think hard.
Can't think of. No. Okay. Never mind.
All right.
This is great. Thank you. Nice surprise.
All right. Very good. The question, how old are you? Is that a legitimate one?
No, I'm 25.
Are you 25?
Okay. Yeah.
You started.
Wow, 25.
That's
and he had
pretty
that
cool.
success. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock and roll by sending tapes into a radio station?
Yeah.
Is that the way it started?
Yeah, I was trying to get a deal, and of course nobody would listen to me. And it was a DJ in a radio station who listened to Runaway and broke Runaway in New York.
In New York, and the station
yeah.
was
it was called WAPP,
and it's now owned by the company that owns this station.
That's right. Wasn't this a double day station too?
No. There was another station in town here, and we blew them out.
But
a double day station.
John Bragan.
You know who that was?
John Bragan. Who was it?
That was KWK.
That was KWK.
Yeah.
Double day.
That.
You're right.
And we bought them out a matter of about 6 or 7 months ago. So Emmis is in New York now. And you sent the tape in. The guy liked it. He played it on the radio. And then what happened?
Fireworks. You know, it was sparks. It was what happened is this guy, his name was Chip Hobart, found us and Twisted Sister in the same bunch of local bands. Mm. And strange enough, the guy actually lost his gig there, which wasn't right. He should have been the head of a record company by this time. And
that's right.
The rest of the stations that were owned by that same chain started playing, and it started causing a stir because then the competition was saying, "Well, what's that record? Who is it?"
Yeah.
And kids were trying to buy the record, but it didn't exist. You know, it was just a radio airplay thing. And we were fortunate enough that we put the band together and opened for Patti Smyth, who we were just talking about,
exactly,
and Scandal. And it was at a party for a radio show. And it was from then on that all the record companies were, you know, knocking on the door, and we, you know, pretty much had our freedom to choose.
Right.
But it took a long time and a lot of listening, you know. And all the other songs from that Runaway session, there's 7 other songs that I haven't seen nor heard since. So they're like, you know, one of those things like after the plane goes down, you know, they're going to find the tapes, you know. But there's a lot of tunes laying around like that.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Chip Hobart. That's the DJ that broke him.
Uh-huh.
Him and Twisted Sister. And I don't know how accurate this is, but he lives in the Burlington, Vermont area now. And he was the music director and afternoon drive host from May of 82 to February of 85. And that's during the time frame when he broke Bon Jovi.
Wow.
Kind of cool that a disc jockey did that, although I like to punch him in the face.
Now you are on your third album here, and after releasing this album, Slippery When Wet, you are, of course, happy as a lark about the whole darn thing.
Yeah.
But you had to make some severe decisions going into it, and one was coming up with a new producer, and Brian Fairburn, is that the
Bruce
correct?
Fairburn.
Bruce Fairburn. Mm-hmm. The guy that you chose?
Yeah.
Bruce Fairburn, yeah. He became
Big
a superstar,
dude.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And he had worked with groups like Loverboy and Blue Oyster Cult and and others.
It was a band called Black and Blue that actually did it for me. I like to listen to new tapes, as you could see. You know, I was running here to, what do you got new? And this band was called Black and Blue, and I was in a hotel and listening to pick the third single off the 7800 Fahrenheit album.
Mm-hmm.
Listened to the CD, and then I picked a single, and then I threw in this cassette of a band called Black and Blue, and I thought maybe my CD player was broken because this cassette sounded better. And I started listening to some of the little production tricks that this guy did, and I said, who did this? And it was Bruce Fairburn. He was the first guy I called. And, you know, that was all I had to do was have him. And he's got a great engineer that he works with. And it was as simple as that.
And I thought Bruce Fairburn was also the producer for, like, the Lover Boys albums in the 70s. Wasn't he already pretty well known by this time?
I'm not sure.
He's making it sound like he discovered Bruce Fairburn from...
Well, it is Bon Jovi, John. When I think of Bruce Fairburn, I think of Aerosmith and the few years after.
Yeah, later
this,
on in the 80s.
Later on in the 80s, yeah. So,
but I thought he was pretty much established by it. Look
I don't
up
know,
Loverboy
John. I'll look up Bruce Fairburn, John.
Yeah, because he was out of Canada. Bruce Fairburn was out of Canada, and he was producing bands from out of there. And so.
All right. Go on.
Roll some more here.
You seem so composed and very. Serious about what you're doing here. I mean, this is not something that you have just got swept away by. I mean, you seem like you're well in control of what's going on. You get your hands on to the business aspect of things, don't you?
Well, I got my hands on it. Yeah.
You know, it seems that way to me. I mean,
I guess so.
Maybe you're fooling me, John.
No, sure. I haven't been up for an hour, though, yet, so you got give me a little time to wake up.
Pause. But,
so Bruce Fairburn is dead. He made it till he was almost 50. Canadian musician, producer from Vancouver, and his most successful productions are Slippery When Wet and New Jersey by Bon Jovi, Permanent Vacation, Pump and Get a Grip from Aerosmith, The Razor's Edge by AC/DC, and Balance by Van Halen.
Huh. So he was
Those
not
are his big ones.
So he was not a part of Loverboy and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, if he was, he wasn't famous then. He produced albums Loverboy. Yes.
Okay.
He produced albums for international artists such as Loverboy, Blue Oyster Cult, Poison, The Cranberries, NXS, Kiss, and even Yes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
So.
You are actively involved in that.
Sure. You know, I mean, I enjoy the business end of it as much as I do, you know, making the records and playing.
Boy, he proved that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Super businessman.
Yeah.
To the point where he could actually afford to maybe even buy an NFL team, which he didn't, has not been
he
successful.
Didn't, but he was owner of an indoor football team.
Yeah, right.
You know, the
right.
Philadelphia, whatever they were called.
Yeah.
All right, we'll speak more with John Bon Jovi after these words. Today's lunch show is brought to you by Burt's Reynolds.
Rent to own from Burt's.
All right, John Bon Jovi is our guest today here at KC95 for lunch, and we have another song or two to play from John before we wrap up the lunch program and talk to him a little more. So, John, how are you handling all this success and everything that's come your way here?
It's great. I mean, we're enjoying it to death, but yet it's no different than last year or the year before. You know, it's just the five of us going on the road and doing what we do best, playing, you know. So we're
Yeah, but last year there weren't as many people grabbing.
No, I mean, there wasn't as many people, but... it hasn't changed us any, you know what I mean? We don't care.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Well, look at me. I look like I slept in my clothes, but it's I do this all the time. That's just the attitude that we've always had, and I don't know, call it being from that small town in the middle of nowhere, you know, and that was where we were from, and the people that we saw coming up, the you know, all those other guys that made it real big from Jersey, mm-hmm. they keep you in that frame of mind that you never... Right. Take it too seriously. Just enjoy the ride.
People like, I guess, the obvious names, Springsteen and
yeah, of course,
like
Springsteen and Steven and Southside Johnny and you know all those guys. So Sinatra, you know, I mean, a lot of people from Jersey. You know?
Right. I have a problem. Maybe you can help me with this. I you know, you're very popular, and there are people that are clamoring to get to say hi to you. And tomorrow, I'm a grand marshal in a parade, John, and I don't know how I'm going to handle this.
Hold on. What parade were you a grand marshal in?
And I was the Soulard parade, the Mardi Gras
Mardi Gras parade?
Yeah.
You?
I was.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah. That was before they were on the main Broadway strip. It was
right,
just on 9th Street. I think it was 9th Street.
Was it packed back then?
The side streets, yeah, but not like
wow.
it is now. But yeah, it was in its early stages.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I was on the back of a... I don't know, they had me on a truck or something. I don't remember, but yeah. Yeah, it was...
Cool.
It was fun.
I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Some advice on from you. How do I handle the people that are just going to be like pawing all over me tomorrow?
Oh, man. You know, you're going to have to hold them back. We'll get Ron to come and help you out.
Ron's,
there, you know?
Yeah, Ron's the big guy sitting next to John. Daring anybody to get close, no.
He's a big
mild.
Teddy bear,
yes,
this guy.
Yes, he is. Okay. Well, John, thanks for coming by here at KC95
again.
It's
my pleasure. Thank you for the great birthday.
Oh, you're
appreciate
welcome.
It. It's a nice surprise.
I hope there's a cake or something out there. I'm
there's
hungry.
There's a beautiful girl in a fur coat outside with a cake. Did
hell
you
with
see
the cake.
That?
Yeah, ooh, hell with the cake.
Two
yeah.
of them.
And he could see through the windows of the studio that there was an actually good-looking girl out there with a fur coat on.
He's mentioned girls like three or four times. So he's 25. He's living the life. Yeah, I know he is still married to his longtime wife,
yeah,
but
I, think so.
You know, I guess back then maybe he wasn't with her yet. I don't know. I thought they went to high school together.
Oh, before I wanted to mention one other thing that I don't know if a lot of people know, but your band is actively involved in different charities as well, and you don't hear that a lot about rock and roll bands.
Yeah, if I ever find a guy that wrote that on that piece of paper, I'm going to kill him. It's not something you talk about, but, you know, you don't look for the praise or credit from it. It's just something that we like to do.
All right, very good. All right, John, again, take care. We're going to close on with the biggest song probably of 1986 and 1987 combined, Shot Through the Heart. Now, a lot of people say play Shot Through the Heart, and that's not the name of
no,
the song.
No, it's not.
But you do have a song, of course, named Shot Through the Heart.
I know. I stole the line from myself.
It's okay. That's legitimate, you know.
But, yeah, I have to admit it.
How many times do people come up to you and say that? Does the confusion bug
Some
you?
Some people say that. No, I understand which song they mean. But it is called You Give Love a Bad Name.
You Give Love a Bad Name. The man who gave love a bad name has been our guest on lunch today on KC95. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
There it is. Now, I will say this. John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora were the inspiration behind MTV's Unplugged. Did you know that?
No. Tell me about it.
Because I think at one of those MTV awards shows, and it was after 1987, I'm not sure what year it started, but they did Wanted Dead or Alive, just the two of them acoustically, and it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody at MTV went, hey, wow, let's make a show out of that.
Yeah.
Hence MTV Unplugged.
I'll be darned. Wow. And all the great artists that have been on that thing since.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. Yeah. It was a heck of a run for that, for sure.
Yeah.
So there, do you like him any better now that you heard an interview in 87 when he was just a young, gentle child?
I liked how he sounded there. And, you know, like I said, it was before I really started to dislike him because, you know, I thought he was trying to be like Bruce later on. Not only with his music and just some of his, you know, some of the choruses and things like that. And I, you know, he did make a country album.
Yes.
And, I just, you know, it's just lame to me. It's just, it was all lame, but I mean, you know, back in when he appeared with you at the, you know, the radio station and stuff, I mean, I liked him, you know, I think I have Wanted Dead or Alive on vinyl, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know,
all right.
And I remember the picture. I don't remember who. It was a picture of him and somebody else at the Union Station, and he had really dark sunglasses on, and I don't know if it was you or not. Could have been Abigail.
Boy, I don't know.
I'm not sure, but anyway.
I don't even know if we took a picture with him that day, to be honest with you. I don't know. There could be pictures in the museum.
What do you remember about the
museum?
Parade? So were they pawing all over you at the parade?
Yes. Yes. Hot women, jealous
men.
You got your junk
grabbed?
No, but it was, I was amazed to see what has happened to that since. You know, I had no idea it was going to grow to what it had become. Now, I would love to be the Grand Marshal. When it really matters. Back then, it didn't even matter.
There's hundreds of thousands of people that go down there now, and the parade route is straight down Broadway.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
And Casey's been in it many, many times, but I had no idea you were a Grand Marshal.
Yes.
Have you ever been a Grand Marshal in any other parade that I don't know about?
No.
That's it?
No. I guess some shit parade somewhere along the line. But, wait, maybe I was in a parade, I think maybe in Baldwin or something once.
But
I wasn't the Grand Marshal.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was just in a vehicle. Oh, and of course the Casey parade that we had, the Louie parade. That was
before I started too. Yeah, I kind of remember that.
We marched through the streets of downtown St. Louis singing Louie.
Did you have a band, a high school band, playing that too?
Oh yes, I think we did.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I think that's it. Anything else on Bon Jovi you want to say?
We're
Get it
done.
All out.
Yeah.
Clear your chest.
No,
now's the
I
time.
I do it on the air. Bon Jovi. That's all I got to say.
All right. This is episode 53 of the Casey Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. And on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Favaz here. See you next week, you man.
AMF.
AMF.
Adios, my friend.
Bitches.
The Casey Tapes with you man and Favaz. For more on the history of Casey, go to Casey95.com or the Casey mobile app.